Today's daf is Vachem Daf Ayin Tes. We left off on the very top of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, and we're in the middle of dealing with a stira in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. We had given an answer, but we're going to give another answer in today's daf. We can come across a number of fascinating issues relating to Ta'aroves in terms of when we look at Min Bamino, when we look at Tam, when we look at Mare, when, you know, at how something looks, when we look at Rove, and all sorts of interesting topics of that nature. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the idea of Ein Dam Vatal Dam and Shitos that support Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is going to we'll probably only get until the Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to tell us elaborate Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Lazar about Dam Korban that gets mixed with Dam Psulim or Dam Tamsis, where the Tanakama said that it's possible to be Zorik on the Mizbeach even if the Dam Kosher is the Rove, and Rabbi Lazar says that it's Kosher. So we'll explain what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is, but let's get started. So we were discussing a stira in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that previously we had said in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that when you have a Taroves of Min Bimino, that two things that look the same are mixed together, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Roim. What you do is you pretend as if one of them was Eino Mino and see how that would affect the mixture, and instead of just saying Batel Brov, we do not allow for Bittel Brov. And yet, we have another price, so where Rabbi Yehuda holds, that we don't say Roim, rather we just say that when it's Min Bimino, it's Batel Brov. So we had said, nah, it's not a Stira, Hadidei, Hadirabe, that was the very top of Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, that the Mishnah that says that Mechatos is Batel Brov, that was Rabbi Yehuda's Shita himself, he does not hold of Roim, but the Raisa that says that we're roim as hayayin alavan, we view the white wine as if it were red wine, and then try to figure out how that would have affected the mare of the mixture. That's not Rabbi Yehuda's own shita. That's the shita of Rav Gamliel, his Rebbe, who's machmir in dine bittel when it comes to min bimino, and holds that it's not batel barov, and that's why even when by min b'sheino mino, he holds the din of roim when they look the same. Because he's not willing to rely on Bittel Barov. You have to figure out what it would have been. So where do we find Rav Gamliel is machmir by a taroves of min bimino? We find it in a brisa. Titania, we have a brisa as follows: Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rav Gamliel Ein Dam Mevatel Dam. That whether it's a taroves dam that's only the zrik on the mizbeach, like you have a dam korban mixed with dam of a regular animal, it's not batel and it's kosher to do zrika. You could do the zrika with that dam because there's dam korban mixed in there, or whether it's a different case of dam. You have when it comes to kisui dam, you have a dam of a chaya or oaf that requires kisui that's mixed in with dam behema that does not require kisui. So the dam of the chaya or oaf is not batel, and you have to do the kisui, because that whole mixture, we still are gores the fact that there is dam of a chayor oaf in there. And ein roke mevatel roke. Saliva of a Torah person is not mevatel saliva of a tamei person, of someone who has tumas zav. And even if it's mixed in with a majority of roke tahar, that's a mixture of min bimino that's not batel, and it's still metame. The ein meraglayim mevatlin meraglayim, and meraglayim of a tahar person is not mevatel meraglayim of a tamei person, of a zav. And if they even if the majority is meraglayim of a tahar person, the combination, the mixture, is still going to be metame because it's a tarovis of min bimino. So what do you see? That Rav Gamliel is machmir by min bimino, and he says that it's not batel. So by min b'she'eno mino, where he agrees that it's batel, he's going to be machmir that when you can't see the difference, when it's not evident in terms of the color, that it's not going to be batel. batal barov. We're going to view it as if it's marehu nikar. We're going to view it as if you can tell the difference, meaning as if they have different looks, where it's not going to be batal if it wouldn't change the look of it. And Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the Braisa that we view the white wine as if it were red wine, will say that was only talking within his Rebbe, Rebbe Gamliel Shita. But Rabbi Yehuda himself, he holds that we wouldn't be machmir. Min b'mino, it's batel. You don't need to be so machmir. And you don't need to say roim. No, just bitul brov, straight bitul brov, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that was one answer to how to deal with the stira in Rabbi Yehuda. But now the Gemara says a second possible answer how to deal with the stira. Rava Amar, Rava will tell you, really, the Mishnah and the Braisa are both following the Shita, the same Shita. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi Gamliel, who's machmir by min b'mino, that it's not batel, and by min b'she'enu mino, that we apply the concept of roim when the two things have the same color. Aye, by mechatos, we said that it's batel barov, even though it's min b'mino, bitli she'tocho tohor v'gabo tamei askinan. Over there, we're talking about a bucket that is tamei on the outside of the bucket. The outer surface is tamei with tumas mashk, which is only a tumah midrabanan, that can only be a tumah midrabanan, because there's no such thing as part of the kli becoming tameh and another part of the kli not becoming tameh on a doraisa level. That would only be on a drabanan level. De midina sagidu bekolduhu, that really make radin, it would be good enough to dip the kli in a way where just a little bit of water goes over the edges of the kli, and that would count as a full tevila, because the inside of the kli is tar anyway. The inside of the kli doesn't need mikvah water to hit it. V'rabbanan hu degazri b'hu, but the Rabbanan are the ones that required being matpil even the inside of the kli, and to pasul the mechatos that's in it. Because why? What are they concerned about? Dilma chayas alayhu. They're worried that the person may be extra cautious with the mechatos, because he doesn't want to pasul the mechatos, so he doesn't want mikvah water going in and ruining the mechatos. So v'lo matpile, so he's not actually going to have the edges of the kli go down into the mikvah, and then the tevila won't actually work. So that was a gzeira midrabanan, that the tevila should not work until you're mevatel the mechatos barov mei mikvah, until there's a majority of mei mikvah, because we're afraid that otherwise people aren't going to be careful. V'kivan di'ikaruba, and since there's a rov mei mikvah inside of it, lo tzarech lecham, did not require us to say roim kiluhim yayin edom. They don't they don't require us to say that we view it as if it were red wine, and that bitul brov is not going to help, because the whole requirement over here is only a din d'rabbanan in the first place. But really, in principle, of course, we normally would say roim, we normally would be machmir to say the din of roim. It's just over here where we don't have to say roim, because of the because the whole concern is only a concern on a derabanan level. Now, this idea that part of the kli is tahar and part of the kli is tameh, and therefore you only need to tovel the part of the kli that's tameh, which is the outside part of the kli. That is, there's a very, very similar idea in the Tshuvas of the Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked about toveling electrical appliances. So in Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simenun Zayin, he says that when you have an electrical appliance that has two parts to it, two components, there's the part that has all the wires and the electrical components, and the part that actually holds the food. So he says the part that has all the wires does not require tevila, even though it's one kli, you don't have to tovel all of it, because the part that's electric is not batel to the other part to make it be considered a one big kli suda. It only is there to create the heat and to be able to do whatever it is that kli functions as. So all you need to tovel is that part. That was a major kula that that Rav Moshe has in terms of toveling certain electrical appliances. Of course, that he's working with the issue, or working through the issue, that many electrical appliances, that if you tovel them, you'll break them, or it could be dangerous to use them after toveling them, after dipping them in water. So he's saying if you could do it in such a way where only the part that touches the food actually gets toveled, I don't know, like a sandwich maker or something, where only the surface that touches the food gets toveled, leveled, but the electrical part that's inside of it does not get leveled, that would be good enough according to Rav Moshe. I spoke to Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss, both hold that if you have an appliance where tevila would ruin it, would break it, then automatically it does not require tevila to begin with. But that seems to not be the shita of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, so the Gemara explains different dinim of bittul, different rules of bittul. So Amar Rava, we find three separate types of bittul. Amar Abanan B'taima, sometime we look at the tam, at the, how something tastes, to figure out whether it's min b'mino or min b'sheinu mino, and to figure out whether it's bittul or not, rather. V'amar Abanan B'ruba, sometimes we look at rov, and as long as you have rov heter, the isur is bittul. V'amar Abanan B'chazusa, and sometimes we look at how something appears, how something looks. So where do we have an application of each of these things? Says the Gemara, min b'she'ino mino b'taima. When you have two things that taste differently, and you have, let's say, truma and chulin mixed in with each other, and you want to know, is the truma asering all the chulin? So if you could still detect the taste of the truma, then it's going to be aser. But if you can no longer detect, or you have basar and chalav mixed together, you can still detect the taste of the basar in the chalav, then it's going to be aser. That's all dependent on tam. Min bimino biruba. But when you have two things that you cannot distinguish them from each other because they taste exactly the same, you have basar nevela and basar shchuta, they taste exactly the same, that you would follow rov. Hecha di'ika chazusa, when the look of something matters, meaning when what something appears like is the primary identifying feature, so you're not going to look at its taste, meaning like a mikveh. You don't care what a mikveh tastes like. You're interested in, is it water? Does it look like water? Is it a clear liquid? So then bimara, then the bittul is going to happen by the look of it, as opposed to by any of the other criteria, certainly not by the taste of it. Now, that's Rava's comment. Those three different criteria by which to say that bittul happens. Now, the Gemara had said on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph that from Reish Lakish we see that the isurim are mevatlim ze. So the Gemara quotes those who disagree with Reish Lakish. Upliga de Rabbi Lazar. The sheet of Reish Lakish that isurim are mevatl each other is against the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Da'am Rabbi Lazar kishem she'in mitzvos mevatl zuazu, kach ein isurim mevatl zuazu. That just like mitzvahs are not mevatel each other, when you have two things that are mixed together that have a mitzvah to eat them, they're not mevatel each other berov, even though each one is a separate mitzvah. So too, when you have two isurim mixed together, they're not mevatel each other. So even though they're two separate isurim, and therefore this is critical, meaning Rabbi Elazar is against that great chiddush that we saw from Reish Lakish of pigel nosar v'tameh. If you have these different isurim and you take two of them and you put a kazayis of two of them in your mouth at the same time, that since one of them is going to be the rove at any given spot, so it will be mevatel the other one. This says no, you're violating two isurim that pigul and nosa that are mixed together and you eat them, you're chayiv malkus because the isurim are not mevatel each other. So you're having a full shear and you get malkus on whatever one you were warned about. Not like Reish Lakish who says, well, one of them is bat. So it's really Asra Safi because only the other one is really the Isser and you don't know which one is the Isser. No, this Reb Lazar says that you're going to get Malkus on this because the Isurim are not Mevatel each other. So that's the great Chiddush of Reb Lazar. So really Reish Lakish Lachar is the bigger Chiddush and Reb Lazar is more the Pashtos. But anyway, Man Sham Le'damar Ein Mitzvot Mevatel Zuzu, who, you know, the way Reb Lazar expressed it is just like Mitzvot not mevatel each other, so too isurim are not mevatel each other. Who's the one that says that mitzvos are not mevatel each other, that Rabbi Lazar is sort of like using as a springboard for his comment? So says the Gemara, it's actually quite a famous shita, Hillel hi. It is the shita of Hillel, the famous Hillel, the Tanya, Amru Olav, Al Hillel Azakein, Shayir Korchon Bevasachas, V'yochlan, Mishum Shnemar al Matzel Sumarorim Yochluhu, that they said about Hillel HaZaken when he would eat his Pesach, his Matzah, and his Maror, his Manchevei Samigdash HaYikayim, he would wrap them all together. Because after all, like the when the Torah describes how Pesach Sheni is eaten, which is interesting, recording the pasuk by Pesach Sheni, it says al matzos umrorim yochluhu. Sounds like you're supposed to eat them all together. But shouldn't the time of the maror, for example, be mevatel the time of the matzah, and then you shouldn't be yotze the mitzvah at all? No, you see that mitzvos are not mevatel each other, even though you're eating them all together. Now, certainly, you during the times of the Beis Hamikdash, Tosfos points out, they had to eat them all together. When there's no Beis Hamikdash, there's no Korban Pesach, there's not even a chiyuv of Maror Midoraisa, there's only a chiyuv of Matzah Midoraisa. And that's why the Gemara says when there's no Beis Hamikdash, we're not korech the Matzah with the Maror, because the meaning, when you really need to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah, when there's no Beis Hamikdash, you don't put Matzah and Maror together. We only do it later at the end because of a Zecher the Mikdash Kelel. But you wouldn't have matzah and maror together when there's no Beis HaMikdash around, because the maror, which is not a chiyuv min haTorah, would be mevatel the tam matzah, which is a chiyuv min haTorah. Now the Rambam writes in Chametz Matzah Perches Halacha Vav that bizman haMikdash they would only wrap matzah and maror. So the Ravid says, oh yeah, that's Hillel, but that's against Rashi and Tosfos, who say that they would wrap matzah, maror, and Pesach. In Karanora he explains the Rambam a little differently, where the Rambam is not describing the Shita of Hillel. Now it's interesting, I mentioned before, the Pasuk that we're quoting over here is not the Pasuk by Pesach Sheni. It's not the Pasuk by Pesach Rishon, it's the Pasuk by Pesach Sheni. By Pesach Rishon it says, V'achles ha-basu b'layla zeh, tzli eish, u'matzos, al-mrorim yachlu. Very similar Pasuk. But apparently it's not as explicit. That's what the Rashash points out. By Pesach Sheni, it's much more explicit that they're all together. Al matzos umarim yochluhu. That they eat the Pesach with matzah umar, all three together. The pasuk by Pesach Rishon makes it sound like tzli eish, you eat, and you eat matzos, and al marorim yochluhu, you eat it with maror. So one or the other is eaten with maror, but not all three together. So maybe that's why we dafka use this other pasuk. Now it happens to be that not everyone agrees with Hillel. The Chachamim in Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph Darshan from the pasuk that you could eat each one separately, and that they hold mitzvos or mevatlos zuazu. So ask the Keren Ora, why does the Gemara say that Rish Lakish is cholek on Rabbi Lazar? It could just very well be that Rish Lakish paskins like the Chachamim, and Rabbi Lazar paskins like Hillel. Meaning our whole point over here of when Rabbi Lazar says that mitzvos are mevatlos zuazu, and Rish Lakish had said they're not, that's just an old machlokas. That's the old machlokas tanoim. That's what the Keren Ora points out. The Ramban holds that Maskanas HaGemara over there, Hillel and Lacham actually don't disagree whether mitzvot and mevatel zuazu. So even though the Gemara over here only brings the Shita of Hillel to say mitzvot and mevatel zuazu, really it's the Shita of the Chachamim as well. It's just that Hillel is more explicit that is his Shita, and that's why we attribute it to the Shita of Hillel, even though it's not really exactly the Shita of Hillel. Another point before we move on, Tosos in Dibra Maskel Amru raises the question that maybe Hillel would take a lot of matzah and maror, and in such a case, the tam matzah would not become batal, and then you can't prove that Hillel holds ein mitzvos mevat lezuazu. So the Birchas HaZevach just points out that since he had Pesach, matzah, and maror, and he had a kezayis from each of them, there's no way he was able to take a lot of each of them, because you can't eat more than three kezayisim at one time. The base Hablia at most is able to accommodate three kezesim, but in the Sefer L'Shem Zavach he just points out that's not such a great teretz, because who says the Beis Hablia has to be machzik all of them at the same time? They only need to be eaten within a kedei achilas pras. He didn't have to eat them all at the same time. Tosos in Pesachim raises a different question. He says, how does Hillel know, how's it muchach that Hillel holds everywhere, meaning, not how Hillel knows, how do we know that Hillel holds everywhere that mitzvos are not mevatel each other? Maybe it's dafka by matzah and maror, where there's a pasuk that tells you that they have to be eaten together. That's where they're not mevatel each other. How do you know by all mitzvos that mitzvos are not mevatel each other? So three possible terutzim. One teretz Tosos himself suggests that if it were true that by all mitzvos, that mitzvos are mevatel zuazu, then we would learn the pasuk by Korban Pesach to tell me not that you must mix them together, but that you're permitted to mix them together. Why would we go from one extreme to the other, from can't to must? It would make much more sense that the pasuk is teaching me a chiddush that you're permitted to mix them together. That's answer number one. That's Tosis's answer. Sfas Emma suggests that from the fact that he holds that you do not need to eat more matzah, that it's good enough to rely on the matzah that you eat with the korech, it must be that mitzvos are not mevatel each other. Because if mitzvos are really mevatel each other, okay, so for Korban Pesach, you got to eat these three together. But you still have another mitzvah d'oraisa called matzah, and that maybe you would have to do separately. Ah, so it must be that mitzvos are not mevatel zuzu. And then another teretz, the Sfas Emes writes, that the Gemara holds that even according to Hillel, you can eat them one right after the other. There's no chiyuv to eat them together. That would be the mashmas of the pasuk al matzos marum. So from the fact that Hillel is korich them together tells you that it must be that even without a pasuk, you must have been able to eat them one right after the other. Meaning the fact that he's korich them together tells you that that they're not mevatel each other. I'm sorry, not that even without a pasuk, but since to fulfill al matzos marum yechlu, you don't need to wrap them together, and he didn't have to do this. The fact that he did it anyway shows that it must be that mitzvos are not mevatel zuazu. Okay, let's go weiter in the Gemara Amud Beis now. The Mishnah said that when dam of a korban gets mixed with dam of a regular animal, the Rabbi Yehuda holds ein dam mispatel. The dam is not batel, because min bimino is not batel. So the Gemara is going to bring prices that will provide us with a support and a stira. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa as follows in Meseches Taros. Charsan shel zav zava. If you have a kli cheres that was used as a urinal for a zavur zava, who's meraglayim martame, and therefore it's absorbed with the tuma, the meraglayim that's tame in the cheres. Pam rishon v'sheni, when you soak that cheres in water one time or two times, tame, we still assume that there's absorption there, that it's metameyit, the meraglayim is not extracted yet. Shlishi tahar, the third time it's tahar. So says Gemara b'med var mumurim shenasan letocho mayim. That's only true if you put water in it three times. That's when it's not going to be metame anymore. Aval lo nasan letocho mayim afilu asiri tame. But if you didn't put water in, you tried to draw out the absorption of the tame meraglayim by putting in tahar meraglayim, you could do it 10 times, it's still going to be tame. Why? Because you're trying to be mevatel tame meraglayim with more meraglayim, even though it's tar, but it's min bimino, and min bimino is not going to be batel. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov omer shlishi afal pi shalona salatocha mayim tahar. No, by the third time, even with meraglayim, it's going to be able to mevatel it. Meaning, min bimino is batel. So the tahar meraglayim will be mevatel the tamei meraglayim. So says the Gemara, okay, man shamalei damar min bimino at lo batel. Who's the one that holds that min bimino is not batel? Rabbi Yehuda. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda who says that dam is not mevatel dam in our Mishnah. So it must be that the Tanakama of the Braisa we just quoted, who said that when you're trying to draw out the meraglayim that's tamei with meraglayim that's tahar, it will never be batel. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it needs to be water that's mevatel. You got to put water in three times. It says Mar Urim Minhu, but I'll ask you a stira that from a brisa. Pishton shetva asonida. Let's say you have flax that a nida was spinning the threads, and in order to spin the threads, she had to moisten them with her saliva, and her saliva is tame. So if the flax is already dry, mesito tahar. So if she moves it, then anyone who moves that thread is tahar because the saliva is already dry. So it's not metame. Saliva of a nida is only going to be metame when it's still moist. But if it was still moist from her saliva, mesito tame mishom mashkapia, then when she moves it, then whoever moves it is going to become tame because they're moving roke of anita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, again, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, av harotvo bimayim tame mishum mashkapia, that even after it dries out, if you moisten it with water, it's still, someone who moves it is going to be tame because you're moving saliva. Says the Gemara, it sounds like va'afilu tuva, no matter how many times you moistened it with water, it's still going to be tame. That's against what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braisa that mei ragle hazav, that is balua in the cheres, will come out with three times of rinsing it in water. And yet over here we see that the roke of a nida, even with multiple times, three times, five times, 10 times of moistening it with water, is not going to draw out the roke of the nida. We're still going to assume that the roke of the nida is there. Says the Gemara, that's not a stira. Rav Papa, shiny roke, de karir. Roke is different because roke has a very strong attachment to whatever it's put into. It's going to be much harder to draw out roke than it is to draw out meraglayim. So that's not a stira at all. Okay, says the Gemara, we said in the Mishnah, nisariv bedama psulin yishafich la'ama. That is machlok tanakam and Reb Lazar. If you have dam korban that's mixed in with damatamtsis, or we had two cases. It gets mixed in with damatamtsis, which is just like the other blood of the animal, or it gets mixed in with dam psulin, dam of a korban that's pasul. So in both of those cases, tanakama holds that mixture cannot be nizrak on the mizbeach, even if the carbon blood is the majority. And Rabbi Eliezer was machshir. So it wasn't clear exactly, was Rabbi Eliezer machshir in both of those cases, or in only one of those cases? So b'maykamifli, what exactly are Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer disagreeing about where the Tanakama holds pasul, and Rabbi Eliezer says kasher? So amrav zvid, begozrim gzeira b'mikdash kamifli, the nekuda samachlokas is whether the chachamim should make a gzeira in the mikdash, even if it's going to cause a loss to kachim on some level, in order that people shouldn't make a mistake and do other things incorrectly. Or do we say, no, don't make any gzeiros in the mikdash? You don't want to cost the mikdash anything. You don't want to cost, you know, the Ribbono Shalom, so to speak, anything, because you're concerned about future mistakes. The Mar Savar Gozrin, so the Tanakama holds that the Chacham makes such gzeiros in the mikdash in order to keep us away from doing other aveiros. So they assert being zorik this dam on the mizbeach when it's dam karban mixed in with dam psulim or with dam tamtzis, even though the dam karban did not become batel, so you should be allowed to throw it, but they're just afraid that if we allow you to be zorik that dam, you're gonna also be zorik by other mixtures where the dam pasul outnumbers the dam kasher, and therefore is mevatel dam kasher. So in order to protect us from doing such an avera, we say that don't be zorik this dam. But umar savar lo gezrinan. Rabbi Lazar holds no such gezera in the mikdash. We have to be choshesh for hefsid kachim, and if you're going to make gzeira, you can tell people not to be zorik dam. That really should be nizrak. So they're not goes on the dam that's mixed with dam psulim and dam tamtzis, and so long as it's not nizbatel, so long as the dam karban is not batel, use it and be zorik it on the mizbeach. So Rav Papa Amar, the Gemara says, oh, but there's another shita. Rav Papa Amar dukulei alma gozrin. No, maybe both the Tanakama and Rav Lazar would hold. We do make gzeros in the mikdash, even if it's going to cause a hafsid kachim. You know what they're arguing about over here? Over here they're arguing whether it's worthy of a gzera. Because what are we worried about? You have dam carbon mixed with dam atamtzis, and the dam carbon is the majority, because the majority of the blood is most likely the dam carbon. So do we have to make a gzera? Don't be zorikin, because maybe next time the dam atamtzis will be the majority? What are the chances that the damatamtsis will ever be the majority? When you shecht an animal, the large majority of the blood is in that first gush that comes out of the animal. So it's unlikely that you'll never have damatamtsis be the majority. So marsavar shchiach, the Tanakama holds that it's possible or that it's likely enough that damatamtsis will be the majority, to the point that we should make a gzeira and not even allow you to be zorik the dam when the dam atamtzis is a minority. So they made such a gzeira. Umar savar lo shchiach, and Rabbi Lazar holds, no, there's no reason to make a gzeira over here when it's a mixture of dam carbon with dam atamtzis, because the dam carbon's always going to be the majority. Ooh, but according to Rav Papa, this answer that we're saying now, the whole machlokas is only when it's a mixture of dam korban with dam tamtzis, not when it's a mixture of dam korban with dam psulim. Everyone would agree that if dam korban is mixed with dam psulim, it's just as likely that you'll have a case where there's more dam psulim than dam korban, and therefore everyone would agree that it's worthy of making a gzeira and not to be zorek that dam on the mizbeach. Everyone would agree with that. The whole machlokas is only in the situation of dam tamtzis, where it's unlikely that you're going to have more dam tamtzis than you'll have dam korban. So says Gmar Bishlam and the Rav Papa. So according to Papa, I understand very well why the Mishnah broke it down into two separate cases. Hayinu d'ktani nisariv b'dam apsulim yishafich la'ama b'dam tamtzis yishafich la'ama. That's why the Tanna said like two separate statements. If dam korban gets mixed with dam psulim, okay, pour it out, don't use it. If dam korban gets mixed with dam tamtzis, pour it out, don't use it. They're not listed together, because according to Rav Papa, Reb Lazar agrees with the first din. He only disagrees with the second din. So the Tana has to mention it separately so that you don't make a mistake to think that when we say Rabbi Elazar Machshir, that it's going on both of them. But El Ravzvid, Li Ravin of Lisninhu, but according to Ravzvid, that they have a broader machlokas whether we ever make gezeiros in the Mikdash, and Rabbi Eliezer therefore holds that in neither of these cases would we make a gezeira, we just don't make gezeiros in the Mikdash. Well, then, Li Ravin of Lisninhu, the Tana should have connected the two dinim in a single clause, in a single statement, instead of breaking them up, because the machlokas is about both cases, and they're very similar machlokos. So it says Mar Kasha, that's actually a very strong kasha on the shita of Rav Zvid, and lechora therefore a great raya to the shita of Rav Papa. Okay, the next Mishnah goes into the next daf, so maybe we'll stop there, even though it's a little early. So we'll stop before the next Mishnah, and the next Mishnah will bring about very interesting discussions of Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra, and that will take us a while to get through. So Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow.